Let's just pray together. Father, as we look together at your word, we ask that you will enter our hearts this morning. Amen. Well, happy Christmas to you all. I wonder if we could do a quick survey. Hands up if you've already opened any presents or emptied your stockings yet. And hands up if you're waiting till either after church or after dinner. Oh, so about half and half. Okay, that's good. We're a stockings first and then a presents later family. And Samuel was very excited because he got a whoopee cushion in his stocking this morning. So I think Christmas dinner could be quite interesting in our house. It's important that we know why we celebrate Christmas, why we celebrate the gift of God's Son, the ultimate sign of God's love for us. Now, in my family, we love to play board games. I don't know if you know the game Trivial Pursuit. Well, we're going to have a go at Christmas Trivial Pursuit this morning to see how much we know about that Christmas story. So in Trivial Pursuit, you have to collect these pieces of pie, and you put these pieces of triangular coloured cheeses in each section and complete the pie to finish. And the different colours represent different themes or different questions. So green is a science question. So here we go. One of the presents that the wise men brought was frankincense. But what is frankincense? I'm going to give you three choices. So is it the resin from a Boswellia tree? Is frankincense a precious stone or an expensive food? So hands up if you think it's that resin from the Boswellia tree. Who's going to say it's a precious stone? And anyone think it's an expensive food? I'm glad you don't think it's that. It is that resin from the Boswellia tree. It's also something that was used, often given to a king or a very important person at their birth in Jesus' time. So we've got our science piece of our cheese in our pie. Let's have a look at blue, which is geography. Here we go then. Hope we've got some good geography people. The name of the town where Jesus was born, a tough one, this one, all right? So Nazareth, Bethlehem, or Jerusalem? Just shout it out. Bethlehem, that's fine. We don't even need to vote on that one, do we? So good, we're doing well so far. All right, we're coming to our art and literature question, the brown segment. The book of the Bible, which tells the visits of the Magi. Now, you could all be looking at Stephen and Simon and Will as they answer this question, couldn't you, to see if they know whether it's Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But let's have a vote. Who thinks Matthew tells the story of the wise men? Who thinks it might be in Mark? Who's going to vote for Luke? Let's have a look. It's in Matthew. Well done. Now, here we go with yellow. Yellow is history, so the name of the person who issued the decree that a census should be taken in the Roman world. So we've got our three options again. Quirinius, Caesar Augustus, or was it King Herod? So vote if you think it's Quirinius who ordered the census. He does appear in Scripture, but it wasn't him. What about Caesar Augustus? Yeah, and it wasn't King Herod, was it? It was Caesar Augustus called that census. Now, orange, that's sport and leisure. I have to say, it was quite difficult to get a sport and leisure question out of the nativity story. So it's not quite from the nativity story. But the wise men went to Jerusalem, didn't they, first of all? And there's a football team in Jerusalem called Beta Jerusalem. All right, bit tenuous, I know, but there we go. Do they play in the Asian Champions League, the European Champions League, or the African Champions League? So either a guess or maybe you even know the answer. So who thinks Bahita Jerusalem play in the Asian Champions League? Any votes for that? One or two? What about the European Champions League? A few are going for that. What about African Champions League? One or two for that. They actually play in the European Champions League. So well done. If anyone can think of a better sports question from the Nativity story, I'd be really impressed. So the final section is entertainment. So I thought we needed to have a look at a carol line to see if we can work out which carol this comes from. Pray you dutifully prime, you matin chime, ye ringers, may you beautifully rhyme. So is that Once in Royal David City, Ding dong merrily on high, or good King Wenceslas. So let's have hands up for once in Royal David City. What about ding dong merrily on high? Wow, lots. Anyone think it's good King Wenceslas? You got that one, didn't you? Ding dong merrily on high. Fantastic. Brilliant. So you have won at the Nativity Trivia Pursuit. Thank you very much for playing. As I said, it's really good to know the story, to know what happened at that first Christmas. But this morning, I'd just like for us to take a few moments to think about this question. Is the Christmas story just head knowledge, or is it something that's in our hearts as well? In Luke chapter 2, we see how the shepherds responded to the angel's call. And they went to Bethlehem, didn't they? Verse 17 tells us, the next thing they did, after they'd seen the baby, after they'd gone to celebrate the birth, was they went and told everyone. They took to heart what had happened. Mary did this also. Mary kept the things that she'd heard in her heart. She thought, she pondered about them. And through Scripture, we can see the importance of our heart accepting what God has done for us, as well as our heads believing. In Exodus, we read, everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for their work. They brought what was needed to the tabernacle, which was their tent of meeting, because they knew how important it was to worship God from their hearts. Some more verses that talk about this same theme from Deuteronomy. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. That's an amazing verse, isn't it? If we search for God from our hearts, then we'll be able to find and meet with God. From Joshua, remember Joshua had just led his people into Jericho. They'd marched around the walls 7 times and blown their trumpets. And everyone probably thought they were being rather strange, being a bit crazy. But they were doing what God told them to do. Serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. We read in Joshua 22, verse 5. Before that it says, love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, obey his commands. Hold firmly to him. It links what we know in our head with what we know in our hearts. The psalmist does the same. With all my heart, I will praise you. I will give glory to your name forever. Again, praising God from our heart, celebrating what God has done from our hearts. This well-known verse from Mark, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And from Romans, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, an amazing verse which links what we know in our head, what we know in our mind, with what we know in our hearts. I'm sure you've noticed this common link, this word heart, appearing in all those verses. In a book called The Reason for God, Tim Keller says that salvation cannot come from an act of will. It can't be earned just through good works or through moral behaviour. It comes from a transformation in our lives caused by knowing Jesus in our hearts. There was a famous 18th century preacher, I'm sure many of you will know of him, called Jonathan Edwards. He wrote a sermon called Divine and Supernatural Light. And he uses a wonderful illustration to help us understand about knowing Jesus in our hearts. He's talking about using honey. And Jonathan Edwards said, your mind can know honey is sweet. People can tell you that it's sweet. You may even read books that tell you that honey is sweet. But if you haven't actually tasted it, you might know with your head, but not with your heart. When you actually taste it, you experience it for yourself. You know in a full way, and you know it in your heart. I think that's an amazing illustration, knowing something in our heart from experiencing it in our own lives. So in the same way, we can experience God in our own lives. We can experience God in our hearts so that we can know, both in our head and in our hearts, what God's love really means. That love that was shown on that first Christmas with the gift of Jesus. And when we think of the Nativity story, maybe we think about angels and kings. Maybe we think about shepherds and gold and frankincense and stables and all those things from that story. When we think of Christmas, maybe we think of the food. And maybe we're thinking now, did I remember to turn the oven on? Maybe we're thinking of the presents and the parties. But I believe our challenge for all of us this morning is for this story to impact on our lives. It needs to go into our hearts. Because with these hearts, we're called to praise God, to love Him, to worship Him, to give to Him, to believe in Him. So can we allow the events surrounding Jesus' birth to rest on our hearts this morning? Can we recognize what Jesus gave up to come to earth as a man? Our second reading from Titus said, "We wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." And we are that family. We are that people that Jesus came for, that gave himself for. So may the truth of Jesus be in our hearts today. May the truth of Jesus be in our hearts always. Amen.